I'm just kind of looking around, just taking everybody in. It's such an awesome thing, as Joe reflected, and we're all really reflecting on how it's just so awesome we can actually gather on this Christmas day and just celebrate what it's all about. And I'm looking around, and it just, for me, gives me such a sense again of a family feeling here at the church amongst all of you. And so just welcome to all of you on this Christmas day. And we're just, what awesome good news we are celebrating today. So welcome to each. Well, before we get into our study, got some important things to take care of. I'm going to invite the ushers forward for just a moment. Going to pause to receive the morning's tithes and offerings. Then we'll take a look at some upcoming announcements and all, and then we'll get into our study together. Let's pray. Father, on this awesome day of celebration, as we gather together, we just say thank you. Lord, your gift, the gift of your Son, and all that that means that he came, all that that ushers into the life of each one who receives, opens that awesome gift of Jesus. Lord, we are blessed. That gift surpasses all others, and so we just want to collectively say thank you. And Lord, in response to your goodness, we choose now just to offer these tithes and offerings to you and pray you'll guide the use of these funds. Let it all go to your glory. But Lord, way beyond the funds, help us to offer ourselves, for you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be lived for. So, Lord, these funds, our lives, all of it, we commit to you now. And we do it thankfully, we do it cheerfully, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your bulletins handy, feel free to get your bulletin out for just a moment. I'm going to highlight a few upcoming announcements. I don't usually do the announcements. Tim usually does them, but as you heard, his voice is not what it usually is. So, bear with me here. Kind of a different change of pace for all of us, isn't it? Well, just a few things to mention. Of you, of course, I encourage you to check out the bulletin. You can get all that's in there. Can't go over all of it right now, but it helps you know what some things going on around here are. There will be no midweek service this week, but then the week after that, we'll be back at it again. And both the men's and the women's study will be going on, the Calvary kids and all going on. And so this Wednesday night, no study, but next Wednesday night, we're up and running again. We invite you to jump on board. You don't have to have been attending that. Maybe you want to make that commitment at the first of the year to get back into growing in the Lord. These studies would be awesome places to do that. So keep an eye out for that and jump on board. Oh, by the way, we did kind of combine both services, obviously, for this week, being Christmas Day and all, giving you time to be with family and all a little bit better. And have everybody in here, the workers, all the family. I mean, the child care workers could be here and all. So this is a special time. But now a week from today, next Sunday, we're back at it again, a normal schedule. There'll be two services as usual, the 8:30 and the 10:30 service this coming Sunday. Well, again, just feel free to check out the bulletin and jump on board as we press on together. Well, we want to, of course, get into God's Word together and look at what this day has for us and what the Bible says about it and all. So let's all get out our Bibles and help us have Bibles. I'm going to invite the ushers to walk down the aisle for just a moment, and they're going to offer Bibles to you. So if you're in need of a Bible this morning, just raise your hand. The ushers will pass one over to you. And for all of us, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this morning. Go ahead and get the guy's attention if you need a Bible, and they will be glad to give you one. And then, of course, if you need to keep it, it's yours. There's no charge for it, anything like that. As we get our Bibles out, let's all go to Luke chapter 2, young and old. Luke chapter 2. Now, while the Bibles are being passed out, I would not want to forget, of course, taking a moment and say thank you. Many of you expressed well wishes to us, Christmas wishes to Kathy and I. And so on behalf of Kathy and I want to say thank you to all of you, but really to everyone here. Kathy and I thank God for each of you and that we get to travel with you. And so we just want to wish you an awesome, awesome Christmas. And also on behalf of the whole staff here at Calvary El Cajon, may you indeed have, hope you have been having and will continue to have all throughout the day, a blessed, blessed Christmas. Well, we got our Bibles all passed out. Looks like we're just about there. Everybody turn to Luke chapter 2. Well, let's take a minute and pray and ask God to bless our time in His Word together. Father, we once again pause to pray because, Lord, we don't want this just to be something that we just kind of look at casually. Father, we don't want it to be something we just head consider, but, Lord, we need heart connection with You. So, Lord, help us to hear what Your heart would say to our heart in this time. On this awesome day of celebration, draw us back again to the accounts, the events of that day. But, Lord, help us to not ever let this story become familiar in terms of us getting used to it. But would You hit us, strike us with, just overwhelm us with how awesome all of this is. So Lord, from youngest to oldest, we say thank You and ask You now to help us. Help us to hear what You'd say in this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you guys enjoy Woofy? Was it Woofy fun? Sounds like Woofy learned some things about Christmas and what Christmas is about. A lot of different opinions about Christmas, but let's take a look what God would have for us. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Luke's account of the Christmas story, but definitely worth us considering afresh and anew this morning. Luke 2, 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus begins Luke's record of the birth of Jesus. The account of the entrance of God coming to this world as a baby. The recording of awesome events that changes everything. But to help us really appreciate all that is before us this morning and all this is speaking about, I want us to think about this question this morning. Will December 26th find us truly living in the light of December 25th? In our time together this morning, I'll be using those dates, December 25th. Now, obviously, I'm just saying that's the day we pick to remember these events. That's what I'm referring to, the events of Jesus coming. And when I speak of December 26th, I mean that time following, tomorrow and all the days following it. Will December 26th find us really living in light of December 25th? Or in reality, will we be found living as if these things never really happened? Will we be the same as we were on the 24th as on the 26th? Or will we really live? Do we really live in light of the events of what we're celebrating today? More to the point, we say we believe they happened. We enjoy gathering and having times of celebrating what happened. We like to say that they happened. But are we really any different because of those events? Which leads to another question. Another way to rephrase it really is, what if Jesus never came? What if the events of December 25th never really happened? What if there was no Christmas? What if there was no December 25th in terms of Jesus coming? How to react to that? What if it was just like any other day? Let's read through Luke chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to look for what happened. What occurred on that day? And then, of course, apply it in terms of has it really changed us because of it? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 sets the stage for us. It's that account of Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem and then Jesus being born, laying there in the manger, that feeding trough, God coming humbly to this world. So that sets the stage. Now, let's go back. I invite all of us, let's go back in time and try to picture what it would be like to be there. So we might think about the events of that day. There's some shepherds out in a field near the town of Bethlehem. They're watching over their sheep. Let's join them. Look at verse 8 now. Now there were in the same country, the same area there as Bethlehem, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Just your average night. Far from it. But do we live as if it's just your average day? Certainly it was a night that's going to change everything for them. It's a night that's going to change everything for everybody for all time. But familiarity can be a dangerous thing. But so we hear these sheep, and these shepherds watching sheep. And it's interesting. Why? Why announce it to shepherds? You think God coming to this earth, there'd be fanfare, he'd come as a king, a big parade, but instead, born as a lowly, just in a lowly situation, humbly as a baby, in this lowly circumstances, and announced to shepherds. Why? Was it simply because the shepherds were the only one up at that hour? Did God say, well, I gotta have somebody over there? Well, we're not really told why shepherds were picked, but it's really great to consider God chose to announce his arrival not to just the rich or the famous. It's not to just those who the world would call special in some way, but God chose to announce it to some lowly shepherds in the field. And I think that reminds us that it was to everyday people doing everyday things. The good news is meant to break into you and I right where we're at, showing us that Jesus is the gift for everyone. So now we're going to travel with the shepherds, and we're going to see if we can discover what it means that Jesus came. Now, as we go through these verses, I'm going to need some help. So I'm going to ask some of you children to volunteer, because what's going to happen is, as we go through this, we're going to highlight some points. Why is Christmas Day? Why is this day that Jesus was born, this December 25th, as we remember it on this day? Why is that day so important? Why should it change us? Why should we be different after it than we were before it? And so we're going to go through some points here, and I'm going to need you to help me keep a list. And so I'm going to highlight a point, and then I'm going to ask one of you kids to remember it. Now, if you volunteer to remember it, I need you to speak really loud. Not just for the old deaf pastor. Don't laugh too hard at that. It's the truth. But so we all can hear and be reminded, and you're going to have to say it a number of times when I call upon you, so you're going to have to remember it. You got your Bibles out? Got mom and dad to help you? Got somebody to help you there? Good. Because we're going to go through this, and we're going to have a list of the points of why this day is different, why we're celebrating, why we're celebrating today. Let's look now at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So the first thing, now you might make a different list later. That's fine if you do. Make all the lists you want to about why this day is so important. But for this morning, I want to highlight some things. The very first thing the angel declares about this awesome birth, as he announces this, he says what? Do not be afraid. Now, that's part of the message of Christmas. You see, it's not just the shepherds didn't have to be afraid of the angels. Oh, that was true, because this wasn't an everyday occurrence. But it has a broader meaning. See, we also don't have to be afraid. Kids, parents, adults, all of us. Christmas is God's cure for our fears. For you see, we have some fears, don't we? Sometimes we can be afraid of death. We can be afraid of things that life has coming at us. We can be afraid, do we even have a purpose for living? See, before this, man, did man, why am I here? And so there could be a lot of fears we all have. But what's the great announcement? Do not be afraid. No more fear. The eternal things, the important things, life, purpose, eternal life, forgiveness, go to heaven and all, we don't have to worry about them anymore. So the first thing I want some to remember is this, that the message of Christmas is do not be afraid. Now, I need somebody to volunteer. Now, I need somebody old enough to say it good and loud for us and all. I can use the drafting method where I pick somebody, but we don't want to have to do that necessarily. So if you, when I need one of you kids to say you're going to be able to do that, okay, well, I got a hand right there. Can you say, do not be afraid, really loud?
Do not be afraid.
All right. You're the man now for number one. You're going to have to say it again in a minute, so be ready. That's going to be your important point. Do not be afraid. Good job. Good job. Okay, but what's the next part of the message? Why is it stated different? Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. What's a tiding? What's a tiding? Well, tidings is an old-time word. It says good tidings. Another word would be, I have good news. I have something really good to tell you is the idea. So the second thing I want you to remember is Christmas is good news. The message of Christmas is good news. Matter of fact, do any of you adults know another word for good news that we hear a lot about in the Bible? Adults? The gospel. Gospel means good news. So the good news of what we're about to hear about, a Savior coming and all, that's good. That's really good news. Turn on the TV, that's not good news. This is good news. And so we're going to have that be part of this. God has sent the answer for our lives. What we really, really needed, the gift that surpasses all others. God is offering forgiveness. Good news. That's the second thing. Who's going to volunteer to say good news? Could you say good news real loud? Number two. Okay, so far our list contains what? What's number one? Do not be afraid. All right. Second point?
Good news.
Good news. Don't be afraid. I got good news. What kind of good news? Look at it here. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Not happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, till you pay for getting in. And also you go, man. But this news is free. And it brings joy. It's news that when acted upon, received, is going to bring joy. Not just happiness, but joy. Joy is something that stays no matter what changes around us in terms of our circumstances. Because this is news that nothing can take away from us, kids. Having a good day, bad day, whatever. This news is sure. And not just joy. What kind of joy? Great joy. Surpassing joy is the idea. So the third thing we're going to remember is that Christmas, the news, the events of Christmas, what we're celebrating, brings great joy. So the third point is great joy. Who's going to get it? Who's going to say it really loud? Okay. Well, I got all these hands going. Me, me, me. Make it feel bad to pick, you know. Anyway, okay, Malachi, you can do it. Your point is what? Great joy. Okay, so here's the list. What's the first one? What's your first one? Don't be afraid, because there's good news. Well, what's the good news? Yes, it's news that contains great joy. This is going pretty good. I mean, this could have gone really bad. But the kids are going for it. This is good stuff. Now, before we move on from that verse, there's one more point I want us to remember. Don't be afraid. We don't have to be afraid anymore. Because there's good tidings, good news, and it brings great joy. And who's it for? Which will be to all people. No one excluded. No one left out. Think about that. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how cute you are. It doesn't matter where you were born or how much money you have. Jesus is for everybody. You can get excited somewhere here if you want to. Charles Spurgeon, an old-time pastor, kids, what said this once. People used to pick on him because maybe he didn't speak really fancy. And he said, well, other people may preach the gospel better, but no one can preach a better gospel. And I play that same way. This is good stuff. And it's to all people. So the fourth thing I want someone to remember is, this is to, as it says, it's to all people. Who can remember to all people for me? No, Malachi, you already got your hand going there, dude. Yeah. But right behind you, right there. Can you say to all people? Good. Okay, let's do the list again. What's the first point? Do not be afraid. Because there's good news of great joy. And who's it to?
Not be afraid.
Nope, yours is. Come on, it's okay, it's okay. Yours is, it's okay. Good, to all people. Say it. To all people, good. Now remember it, you're going to be coming up again. He's got like the ski mask, he's hiding now. It's okay, it's okay. Verse 11, we must scoot along. For there is born to you, now here's the message. Here is the good news. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Parents, are you sitting there saying, boy, I hope we move along through this. I'm used to this story. Hope you're not. Don't ever get used to this. Don't ever get used to this. It's good stuff. Let's look at it. What do we get from this in verse 11? It says, for there is born to you. To you. A minute ago we said it's for all people, meaning to all nationalities, for everybody. So it's open to everybody. But now we're going to go from all people to making it personal. For the message is, there is this day, the day we're all celebrating today, born to you. Put your name in there. Not out loud, but just as you read it, put your name in there. There is born to Dale a Savior. Put that in, put your name in there, because that's how God intends it. Your name is on the tag. Your name is on the tag of Jesus. Who's it to? You. So this is, we need to understand that. He wants all this to be very personal. He came personally so that we might know him personally, and he has to be personally received. But it's to you. Christmas is meant to be taken personally. Christmas is out so that we might encounter Jesus personally. If we're going to be changed, if we're going to be different tomorrow and Tuesday and on out from there, we must encounter him personally. If this is just a holiday, just kind of some warm feelings, it'll fade when you're back to work and the pressure's on again. But if we encounter him through the events that we're celebrating, then it will change us. So, I need someone to remember the fifth point here about Christmas is born to you, meaning it's personal. Who can remember born to you? Zoe, you almost look like you raised your hand there. No? Okay. They're all drafting you. You thought I was going to pick on some of the little ones, huh? You don't have to. She was going like, that was just one. We won't. Do you want to do it? Can you do it? Born to you. Say it. She's going to be so upset with me later. I don't know. Zoe, at least I didn't say that, Zoe. our granddaughter Zoe's back there like, he said, Zoe, I'm in big trouble. Okay, let's remember. Let's go through it now. What's the first one? Don't be afraid. There's good news of great joy to all people. What's mine? What am I? Right away, like, what was I supposed to say? Born to you. Yeah, all right. I'm kind of lumping all three of you together. You're all in this together, I can tell. So you got to help each other remember this one. Maybe we'll do that. We'll make it all three of you can say it when it comes your turn. Well, anyway. Careful, Dale. Anyway, let's press on to this because we want to make sure we get this good stuff in here. So, for there's born to you this day in the city of David. Now here it is, the pivot point. It all really zeroes right in on this now. Who's born to us? A Savior. A Savior. That's the purpose of his coming. That's why there's a Christmas. Over in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, we read this in Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is a baby, came as a baby, but he's a man on a mission to grow. Born to grow, become a man that he might go to the cross and pay for our sins. So it's all part of the same thing. See, He's a Savior, because that points to our real need. I don't know if some of you kids have already had Christmas this morning, got your presents already open. Maybe after church, you're going to go home and do that then. Maybe last night, whenever. And you got a lot of great gifts. A lot of fun things. Great, that has their part. But the real gift that changes everything, that which we all needed, young and old, the gift we all needed is a Savior. For we're lost. We need what Jesus offers if we're going to be forgiven and spend eternity with Him. For Jesus came not to give us a holiday, but to deal with our sin. Sin is a word that means that we're separated. It means He's perfect and we're not. And how do we live with Him with sin in our lives? Well, this is how. We get that sin dealt with. We get it forgiven by Jesus, who was born, who died, who rose again to conquer sin, conquer death. It's all together. Now, at this point, if you're visiting today or you're not used to this terminology, the idea of Jesus came as a Savior, that Christmas is really about God's answer to how to deal with our sin, some of you might say, Pastor, I can handle a baby in some hay. Shepherds, little lambs, cool. Angels, yeah, good stuff. But Pastor, why do you have to bring up sin? Why would you turn this day so joyous talking about something so ugly as sin? That other stuff, a baby, a cute baby, some sheep and all, that's cute. Sin is ugly. You bet it is. And it would have kept us out of heaven if there is no Christmas. He had to come to die on the cross for our sins. And if He's to do that, He must enter this world. Fully God, but fully man. The sacrifice had to be a sinless, perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. So God had to come. And that's why there's a Christmas. That's what Christmas is really about. You can't separate the cradle from the cross. So why Christmas? A Savior. Who can remember a Savior? Okay, that hand went up so fast. Now, are you going to be able to remember it for me? Okay, can you say a Savior? Okay, let's do the list now. Okay, so what's the beginning one? Don't be afraid. All right, good job. Because there's good news of it to all people. Born to you a Savior. A Savior, all right. Okay, good. This is going good. Now, I was going to move on originally from this verse, but I added this morning because we got to make sure we understand, well, who is the Savior? Well, to make no mistake about it, He's identified specifically who is Christ the Lord. Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord, ruling and reigning. It's God incarnate. So this Savior is Christ the Lord. No way can we make a mistake who is laying there in the hay. Who can remember Christ the Lord? I've been picking up front here. Let's go way in the back. Ooh, hand way back there. Now, if I pick you, you got a Superman shirt on. Looking good. Can you say Christ the Lord really loud? He did? All right. Okay, here we go. What's the first one? Do not be afraid. Are you losing some of your excitement about it? Don't be afraid. Why should I be afraid? It's good news. Well, what is this, like, okay good news, or what kind of good news? Of great joy. To all people, right? To everybody. We're doing pretty good. They did it! Oh, you guys are conspiring. All three, born to you. They thought they'd do that. That's very good. Who's born to us? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Good stuff. Okay, verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. A whole bunch of angels now show up, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Again, there could be a lot highlighted here. But what now it happens? What do these whole host of angels have to say? What do we learn here? What's the first thing that they sing? And another thing I want to add to our list why Christmas is so awesome. What do they say? They say, glory to God in the highest. What am I trying to point out here? This gift that God is giving, its goal is to give glory to God. The events of December 25th that we celebrate on December 25th gives glory to God. The whole salvation plan is aimed at giving God glory. So I want some to remember, glory to God. Do I dare call either one of you, or am I going to hear about it later? I'm going to see if the grandkids want to volunteer. No, no hands are going up. Okay, guys, don't want to totally embarrass you there. Okay. Uh-oh, there's a hand right next to you. Can you remember glory to God? There you go. All right. Here they are. Oh, that's so cute. This list is getting long. We better make sure we're remembering it. First, do not be afraid, because there's good news. Who's it to? All right. Born to you. Who's born to us?
A Savior.
Who is Christ the Lord. And the result is what? Gives glory to God in the highest. Well, let's add one more here. Because what's the second part of the angel's song, the angel's declaration? And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace. Interesting, all the things that can be highlighted, but peace. Why? Because people lack peace. You know that. Before the Lord gets into hold of our hearts, down deep, there is such turmoil. How we longed for peace. We try to find peace in so many things. We look for it in things we do, some experience, something I buy. Maybe it will be in that present under the tree. There are a lot of fun things under the tree, but not real peace. Only God gives that kind of peace. Oh, the world gives a peace, Jesus said. But see, it's a circumstantial peace. A peace that'll come and go because things change. But Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, give I to you. Peace. God's goal in all this is peace. But not just kind of a fuzzy feeling of peace. It means peace with God. Before we had Christmas, before we received the gift of Christmas, Jesus, we aren't at peace with God. We're hiding from God, running from God. We're all about us. And so as we receive the gift of Jesus, we have peace with Him. We're no longer an enemy against God, but we're with Him. We're His child. And not only that, that gives now the peace of God in our hearts. So peace, peace with God, and the peace of God. Sometimes this is translated something like, and on earth, peace among men with whom He's pleased, peace towards those, goodwill towards those who have this attitude and all. The point is, Jesus gives peace. We have peace because fear and anxiety has been conquered. So the last we're going to add to our list is peace. Who are we going to draft for peace? Go for it right there. You had your hand up a while ago and I didn't call on you. Let's do it now. Peace. Peace. That's important. That's a big one word, but it contains so much. Okay, our list is done. Let's see if we can get through it. I know we can. They've been doing great. I wonder if I had used adults if we'd get this far. Senior moments might attack us. I don't know. So, first part of it,
don't be afraid.
Good news. Okay, you guys are doing great. To who? To all people. Okay, let's keep going now. Do you have like a cue? You're just, this is going great. Okay, born to you. Who?
A Savior.
Who is Christ the Lord. And that gives glory to, glory to God in the highest. All right. That's good. And our last one is peace. His coming gives peace. Well, let's look now. Let's read it out to the end here. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let me pause for just a moment. We see now the shepherds not only heard what was declared to them, but they believed on it. How do we know they believed it? Because they acted upon it. The good news motivated them to act upon what they've been told. Have you acted upon it? Can you sit here and say, yes, I've opened, I've received the gift of Christmas, the forgiveness and all. I've personally received Christ as Savior. They acted upon it. And it's interesting to note, they weren't commanded. Nowhere does it say, now get over there and check out the baby. The angels don't tell them that. They could have very well said, oh, that, you know, here's the angels, tell them all this good news. Then the angels go away. They could look around and said, that's interesting. So, how'd you like that ball game yesterday? Some people do that, huh? Oh, great story, warm feelings, but hey, how's that game? What'd you think of that football game? And in the end, not really impacted at all. The shepherds were impacted. They didn't just take it as same old, but they realized that this announcement deserves action. Kids, all of us, the message of Christmas calls for a response. They respond. They say, let's go see this one that was sent, this one that has this being declared about him. We actively respond to who God is. See, worshipers are responders. We're called to actively respond to who God is and what he's done. Will we be any different tomorrow for the events we're celebrating today? Verse 17. And they came with haste. Excuse me, that was 16. 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So now we see that their belief did more than just cause them to go check it out. But what they discovered didn't stop with them. They shared it with others. They went and saw, and then they began to tell what they had heard, what they discovered. They made known what God told them. Is that not a big part of what Christmas should be about? Isn't Christmas, the message of Christmas, to be shared? The glorious news that a Savior is born is meant to be heard, believed upon, and then shared. But if it hasn't changed us, we're not apt to tell about it. If you get a gift today that's really awesome, I bet you're going to tell somebody. You know what? You're going to see me. Guess what I got? But if you're not excited, I'm probably not going to hear about it. Do people hear about it tomorrow? Do the people hear about what you received that this day points to? Are they going to hear about it tomorrow from us? And then verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. What do we learn there? That all this provoked a response in them. They gave glory and they praised God, it says. They gave praise to God for all these things. Again, what's the result of all this? They became worshipers. Will we be worshipers tomorrow for the events we're celebrating today? So now that really brings us back to our time we began with. Kids, you've been sitting here a while. You've been really gracious. You participated. Others probably would have if you'd had opportunity to. But now for all of us, before we wrap it up, we need to think about some things. I want you to imagine it's tomorrow. In this case, Monday. Today's the day we picked to celebrate when Jesus came. But I want you to picture it's tomorrow. Now, not just for the kids. Parents, please. This is really, really specifically aimed at us because we can get so hardened and used to it and familiar with it. Will we be any different tomorrow because of the events we're celebrating today? Not what do we say, what do we do? Will we still be as irritable? Will we still be unkind and unloving? Will we go about business the same old way, cutting corners, not being a good witness? Will we relate to our, will we bark at our kids? Kids, will you bark at your parents? On it goes. Will we be any different? And we'll answer that with our lives, won't we? Not with just our words, but with our lives. Will we find ourselves living? Do we live like it never happened? In reality, do we live like Christmas never happened? It's an important challenge to us. For it's not meant to just be a warm, fuzzy feeling day. But it, as I said, it's meant to be a day of encountering God. And if you encounter God like the shepherds, you'll never be the same again. So it's a good litmus test, a good challenge for us. What will it be like because of this? Remember, it's all meant to be personal. Unto you is born a Savior. Again, not to give us a holiday, but to give us salvation. It's a gift that must personally be opened. How? By opening your heart. By confessing your need, repenting your sin, and asking Jesus to forgive you. If we have received that, if we have personally received the true gift of Christmas, then the 26th and every day after that will be different. Got some competition back there. A born preacher. He's saying, give me that mic. I'm ready to go. Every day will be different. And so shall we. And we will be different. So the question is, could others tell by how we live that we've received the gift of Christmas, the real gift of Christmas? Do we live in the light of His coming? Do we live in the light of Christmas? One more time, we're going to review it. Why is there a Christmas? Don't be afraid. Because there's good news of great joy. And it's to all people. We're doing great. We're doing great. I want to make sure I got my list in front of me here so I don't miss anything here. To all people. Born to you. You three girls, you did it. You're shining. You made it through. That's your last time. They're going to tell me about it later, I can tell. Born to you. Who's born?
A Savior.
A Savior. Who is? Who is Christ the Lord. You got it. And that brings, where's the glory? Oh, right back there. Glory to God. And that ushers peace into our lives. Well done to all you kids. You made it. Woo-hoo! Now, let's see if the parents remembered it. I'm going to go around. No. Oh, no. Good news. Joy. Peace. It's real. Because these events did happen. We don't have to say, what if they didn't? They did happen. He did come. He came to that stable, and He went to the cross, and He rose again, and He lives. He sits on high, sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to intercede for us. It's all part of the same package. This is it, folks. This is where you get excited. This is what it's about. And that's supposed to be the result, isn't it? Joy. Great joy. May God place a fresh sense of joy in all of us. And may tomorrow and every day after this be lived in light of it. And may people be able to tell it. This morning I'm just blessed. Hopefully you are too, by just the sense of joy. Joy to be amongst friends. Joy to be able to be amongst family and all. But especially the joy of the events of Christmas. I'm going to invite our worship team up to close us in song together. As they do, again, on behalf of my wife and I, Kathy and I, and everybody here in the church, Merry Christmas to you. May you have an awesome day. But what about tomorrow? If you've never received Christ as Savior, I'm going to be right over. No, I'll take that back. Our prayer partners, Rudy and I, will be over here. I'm going to be greeting you at the door. I want to make sure and wish you Merry Christmas. But there will be someone here to answer your question, to pray if you need to get it settled. But for all of us, will we truly be changed by these events? Are we changed by Jesus coming to this world? Are we going to be any different on December 26th than we were on December 24th, meaning before Jesus came into our lives? The coming of Jesus is meant to change us if we've truly encountered Him. If you have, then rejoice. Encountering Jesus changed the shepherds. Encountering Jesus changes everything, changes us. Rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we are indeed so thankful. All of us just lift our hearts to you and we thank you, Lord. We think about this list, these things we've drawn from your word, this announcement you've made of what it's all about. Truly, Lord, you have changed us. For every heart that's open to you. And we thank you for that, that it is personal. That the only thing it took was us admitting our need, confessing that we've sinned, but receiving that forgiveness. Thank you. You brought the events, the truth, the declarations to bear upon our lives. And so we sit here, yours. And so we thank you. We give praise. And like the shepherds, Lord, we rejoice. We choose to close now and just praising you together. And I pray that tomorrow you'll find us doing the same. And every day, because you are worthy. How we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.